Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we're examining every single goddamn page of Alien Hunger, a quick start adventure for Vampire the Masquerade, to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is 1991's Alien Hunger, the official PDF release from White Wolf. Tonight we're discussing page 62 of Alien Hunger. We're in the pre-gens section. We're getting close to the end now. We're on the character sheet for Marcus Smith Kearns. We talked about him last time. We discussed how great everything is for Marcus. He's kind of living in nerd paradise, and being a vampire only makes it better. In fact, that was the dumbest thing on last page, is that despite his regular life being kind of perfect for someone like Marcus, I mean, presumably there are people out there who wouldn't want to live most of their lives with no face-to-face human contact except for gaming. I wouldn't know. I don't go out. But not only is he living that charmed life, but then when he becomes a vampire, he loves it. It's an easy transition for him. And I don't think we get a clear sense of why exactly on last page, but this page does tell us. This is the character sheet, and I'm going to take you through it and tell you how I discovered the hidden reason that Marcus made such an easy transition from life to undeath. So, okay, first thing, spoilers for this page, the math is correct. Unlike with Teresa and Flash, the math is correct. This is an appropriate starting character. Everything checks out. He's got Dexterity 4 with the Quick specialty, so he's very dexterous. Manipulation 3, so even though social attributes are his weakest, he does have one strong one with manipulation. His charisma is 1. Not a terribly likable person, but he can get things done. His mental attributes are primary. He's got a perception of 5. And it was when I got to perception 5 that I turned, as I did with Teresa, to the first edition Vampire the Masquerade core book. Because as we discussed with Teresa, you can see in that book, for any given number of dots, for any given attribute or ability or whatever, what does this mean? Like within the fiction, what can this character do? So for example, you might think Dexterity, 4 out of 5. Okay, he's pretty dexterous. But then if you look in the first edition book, it says Dexterity 4, quote, exceptional, juggle 5 knives. That's pretty fucking dexterous. 4 out of 5 doesn't really convey it. And of course, his perception is even better. He has perception 5, quote, outstanding, see a needle in a haystack, with the specialty attuned, which as I briefly mentioned earlier in the season, is a bullshit specialty that you can apply to basically anything. So Marcus is really riding high in perception. An almost universally applicable specialty with 5 dots is, that's the best you can do, unless you've got supernatural perception with Auspex, which he also has. So perception, a huge strength for him, which is fine. It's great for characters to be good at things, have strengths. He's got Wits 4, with the specialty Thinks on Feet, which is fine. I mean, Wits is generally about quick thinking, so you might think Thinks on Feet's a little bit general, but Wits is also your sort of common sense, or your like practical holistic intelligence. So intelligence is, you know, your memory and how much you know and your aptitude for logic and learning things from books, et cetera, et cetera. Wits is, in addition to how fast can you think, like, do you notice when someone is conning you? Can you multitask? That sort of thing. So Thinks on Feet, it's fine. And you know, Marcus doesn't have a lot of other really strong traits. He's got Auspex 3, so heightened senses, can see auras, and psychometry, where he can, you know, touch an object and see key emotional things from its past, and so on, we've talked about before, which is a very useful power. Auspex is a great discipline, but it's not overpowered. It's, you know, I was kind of wondering when I saw this page, what am I going to talk about here? Because the math is right, all the traits seem pretty much in the range I'd want them. Not too strong, not too weak, not unreasonable for the character. Okay, he doesn't have any dots in empathy, which he needs for his Auspex powers, but he's got perception 5, so that makes up for it. Okay, he's got resources 3, which is described in Vampire First Edition as, quote, large savings. You own a house, or at least have some equity. If liquidated, you would have $50,000 in cash, allowance of $3,000 a month. And in modern dollars, that means Marcus is worth about $112,000 and has like $6,700 of disposable income a month from his one-man independent anime figurine importing company. So, you know, in modern terms, even if that playing around money that he's got after expenses is like a third of his income, he's still clearing like $241,000 a year on anime figurine importing. So that's pretty good. In the upper echelon of Gundam mongers, but I don't know. I wouldn't like to have to make an episode out of Marcus making too much money at his job. However, Marcus does have one more trait with serious implications that are never made explicit in this book, and that is the dumbest thing on this page. Marcus has an occult of 4. It is his highest ability. And when I checked on this, I was curious because, like, we know that Marcus went to the psychic fair with his girlfriend. We know that he's got these neo-pagan contacts. It says that he's a mystic in his profile. You know, we don't know about him doing magic or anything like that. There's nothing in the book even really specifying that he believes in the supernatural. He just knows a lot of neo-pagans. However, throughout my coverage of this book, I've portrayed him as a believer because I knew from going through this book beforehand that he has a cult four, which is a serious amount of a cult. Too much, in fact, for one to be a non-believer. Per the description of the occult knowledge in Vampire First Edition, quote, "You are knowledgeable in the occult, particularly in vampire lore." It goes on to say, quote, "Any character who has a 4 or 5 ability has real and true knowledge of vampires and other aspects of the occult, mostly of what is patently false." And the description of 4 dots is, quote, "Doctorate, you know a few arcane secrets." Marcus already knew vampires were real before the events of Alien Hunger, as well as other kinds of magic. I mean, he may not have known much, but he knew enough that if somebody said, hey, vampires can't cross running water, or vampires can't come into your home uninvited, he would have been able to, from a position of knowledge, not speculation, say, no, real vampires aren't like that, because there are real vampires, and he knows something about what they're like. No wonder this motherfucker is ready to join the ranks of the damned on day one. He was ready for this. In those contemplative moods that you sometimes have in life, he would sometimes think, I wonder if I'll live to an old age, whether my savings will hold out. I wonder, could I, you know, die in some kind of accident? I've got this family history of various things. I wonder if it could be the same thing that, you know, took out my grandparents or my parents. Or am I going to turn into a fucking vampire? Because that's a real thing that happens to people. I know it for a fact. This is not catching him unprepared. It's not news to him. I'm sure he's learning a lot about vampires. He doesn't know a lot about vampire society, but he's already made the biggest step. He's already over the biggest hurdle as play begins. He knows vampires are a real thing, which, by the way, makes it even more absurd that even Marcus doesn't realize he's a vampire until the next fucking day after what happens with the burning building and the escape and the hot dog incident. For a guy who knows vampires are real, a whole night and morning of being biologically dead and craving blood and maybe having bitten a person's neck in a frenzy, it's a long time for someone to finally come around to, like, oh, maybe I'm a vampire. Like that girl Juanita down at the gas station. Maybe I'll go ask her about this. Marcus is coming into this with a real advantage. So even with intelligence too, he probably should have been a little quicker on the uptake. But no, the dumbest thing in this page is just that you've got a character here who already knows about vampires before the story begins, which, first of all, if that's true about Marcus, you got to tell us. Because, I mean, there's stuff in his profile. We went through it yesterday about, like, how he likes reading science fiction books, and he's got an on-again, off-again, but mostly on-again relationship with his girlfriend, and the fact that his girlfriend has known Emerson for a long time, and that he's had some run-ins with supervisors and been fired a lot before he started his own business. Some of that word count surely should have gone to, oh, by the way, Marcus has known for a while that there's such a thing as vampires, and so he's not even fucking surprised when this happens. That is information we need to know. And it's pretty dubious to include it in a book where, you know, the goal is to have a quick start for players and potentially storytellers who are new to vampire and don't know the setting well. And so the players are learning about vampires along with the characters. Kind of defeats the purpose to have a character who already knows shit about vampires. In fact, Marcus has got a cult four. A cult five is, quote, scholar, fully initiated in many of the great mysteries. You don't need your sire to tell you what's going on, end quote. Going from 4 dots of occult to 5 dots of occult costs 8 experience points, which is 3 sessions worth of experience points. In 3 sessions, if he wants, Marcus can buy himself up to 5 dots of occult and say, look, I've been spending time at the New Age bookstore. I've been hitting up my neo-pagan contacts, calling in some neo-pagan favors over these 3 sessions. I am now fully conversant with vampire shit. Like, I know the things that a sire would tell you if you had a sire. That is a huge chunk of, like, the learning curve of the players and characters in this adventure for Marcus to be within 3 sessions of experience points of just getting to know it, especially given that his other stats, like his contacts, have set it up so that it makes sense for him to be able to learn that skill. It's not like he's going down into a dungeon D&D style and killing kobolds until he learns all the secrets of the occult with experience. He specifically has the knowledge level and knows the people to be able to get this information. But you wouldn't know it unless you were a nerd who looks at these dots on the page and is like, this is not enough. I got to go back to the core book and read the long form descriptions of what all these dots mean about my character within the fiction. And you know what? If you're that person and you go dig through the core book for that information, you deserve the charmed life of a Marcus Smith Kearns. You are an alpha nerd, and more power to you. The world of darkness is your vampire oyster. Join me next time as we turn to the final pregen in this book, our old friend Emerson Wilkerscher III on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the patrons-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that feed and support the show, go to patreon.com/megadumbcast. Social media was never healthy and is now dying, so if you want to contact me, you can email me. I am megadumbcast@gmail.com. This season's theme song is Suck City by Black Math, whose work you can find at freemusicarchive.org/music/black_math. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.